This episode of Therapy Insiders is sponsored by WebPT, makers of the awesome and super popular EMR software. Recently, I spoke with WebPT COO and co-founder Heidi Janangam, and I asked her, what really separates WebPT from other EMR companies?
Actually, I think we're the only EMR company that does not charge you a service fee for live calls. So we have, live bodies here right in Arizona that are taking our customers' calls when they have a problem or answering emails when they send us a support ticket and they have a question about something.
WebPT, high-tech, awesome EMR, but with a human component. They're always ready to talk and listen. Check them out at www.webpt.com or give them a call for a free demo, 866-221-1870. Let them know Therapy Insider sent you. That's the sound of the Oxford debate. So recently I attended the next conference, the APT and Next conference, and the question that was asked was, should PT schools teach business? And what you hear in the background is the debate going on between the pro side and the con side. So I figured we should get in on this debate, us here at Therapy Insiders.
There's a con side?
Oh, believe it or not, there's a con side, but I had a really hard time finding it.
So, who's on that side?
Yeah, did you find anybody on that side?
Me personally? No.
But we're just doing it just for the heck of it?
Well, the debate, that there was a con side, but it wasn't, I don't think it was that strong. So, but we'll go into that as well. So you might have heard in the beginning, if you've been listening to this podcast, that our beginning sponsor is a little bit different than before. And that's not the only different thing that's going on for us. But more on that at the end of the episode. Stay tuned for a pretty big announcement. But back to business and physical therapy school. We talk business a lot, right, with a lot of guests that have really successful businesses, and we're very gung-ho and we're very proactive in getting PTs involved in business, right? I mean, we all own businesses. We all in different worlds of it. Joe in the clinic, Urson in the clinic, products, me in the products, and media. And so I was really interested of just kind of walking around and shoving a microphone in people's faces.
Just like that.
And so the question I asked them was the same exact question that the Oxford debate was asking. Should PT schools teach business? So in this podcast, what we're going to do is we'll play some of those clips, hear their answers, and then we'll talk about it ourselves. So let me ask you guys before we get into those questions, should PT schools teach business?
Okay, well, normally Joe goes, but it's funny because at the time when I was in my last semester of PT school and we had the kind of obligatory, what I thought was the obligatory business course, I thought that it was, I was ready to graduate. I didn't need that. Even though I wanted to own a practice, I just didn't think this was necessary, or at least I didn't think it was good information. So at the time, I just kind of blew it off, even though I probably did well in it. I didn't see the value in it. But now, of course, yeah, absolutely. Especially considering how much I've learned going into business for myself as a clinician, two different practice models, and then teaching courses and having online mentoring and teaching and those venues. I wish I would have had a mentor, and I would have also had some sort of formal didactic education.
What about you, Joe?
You know, I, as I think about this more and more, I obviously think it's important. But I start to think about what's the best way to implement something like this on a larger scale. And so for me, I think that when you're learning the business side of physical therapy, you need to do it with a mentor in actual practice, and I think that that makes it's going to make it more real, and it's going to make sure that you're not just learning the words from a book that have no real depth or meaning to you. I feel like that is, you know, what most PT schools try to do is give you, if they do, just give you enough about the buzzwords, and then you really don't know the full behind the scenes what it takes to run a practice. And I think that maybe it's something that can be asked and can be put into part of the clinical education piece, that you if you're interested in private practice, if your goals are to own a practice one day, that they set you up with some business mentors, some clinical practice owners that wanna teach you not only the basic fundamentals of physical therapy practice, but how to run a business. And I think that in a way would make it so that not everybody's forced into, you know, people shouldn't be forced into doing it. If you're forced into doing it, you're not going to have a successful business. I mean, you got to want it. And I think that
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think people should be forced. I think it should be a strong part of the curriculum, because I think even if you're not doing it, I think you need to understand it to an extent. If you're going out there, I think everybody can benefit from negotiating skills. I think everybody can benefit from understanding certain metrics and what it takes to run a clinic, because you know, that's going to be expected of you. Everyone is expected to hit productivity numbers and have a certain value that they bring to the clinic. And I agree that mentorship is super important, and the ones that are interested beyond that baseline shouldn't have an ability to go for, you know, advanced training or certain mentors or things like that. But I think everyone can benefit from it.
Well, no doubt. But what about that inpatient therapist that is going to work acute care for a big hospital system? I get you, what you're saying. You know, they need to negotiate. They need to understand that there's going to be productivity expectations. I get all that. I just, to push them into doing more on the management, the HR, the reimbursement or payment side of things.
Good fix, Jerry.
Sorry, Jerry.
Shout out Jerry Durham, who will also be on this podcast as one of the guests from the next conference.
All right, I see both sides actually, but I mean, especially to Joe's point. I think many of those students would have seen it just like me, and I intended to own a practice someday, just it wasn't right away. And you know, I knew I wanted to go right into ortho, so I felt that same way about peds and neuro, right?
So
but I do think it should be part of the core, yet you're going to miss a lot of those people who feel like, oh well, I'm never going to own my own practice or my own business. But I mean, that's just the way that is with anything you're not interested in.
So I asked the first question, the question of should physical therapy schools teach business, to a clinic owner. So I asked Sarah Hag from Entropy Physical Therapy whether we should teach business in school. And this was her answer.
I think that adding business into the curriculum, even at a very basic level, opening our eyes to that side of our careers, would only make us better clinicians.
All right, so that was Sarah, and she mentioned that adding it to the curriculum will be good for the profession, that it will help. One of the common critiques that I heard for those that even said yes is that the curriculum is already packed full of stuff. So where do we fit business in the grand scheme of things? There's a lot of creative ideas. I think there's just a lot of useless crap in there that should be streamlined a bit. And I think we need to update and modernize the curriculums. Obviously, there's requirements that you need for the board exam. I get all that. But there's always room to cut some fat off and make it a little bit more lean. So what do you guys think? What do you think about the curriculum? I know some universities might have at least say that their wrists are kind of handcuffed a bit.
Well, we had EIM on, and they're taking their curriculum and cutting it to 2 years.
Shout out, Larry Benz.
Shout out to Larry. So I think anybody that says that is putting up a front because they're resistant to change. They don't want to put forth the effort to really figuring out where they can fit this in. They don't feel passionate enough about it that it's important enough to fit in. If you feel that something's important enough, you're going to find some place over 3 years' time to fit it into the curriculum. Let's be right up front about that. All right.
I think that's a fair point. I agree with you. I think there's got to be somewhere to put it in, especially something that's this important.
My vote is to drop the ultrasound class.
Let's not talk crazy now, Joe.
Well, the last time I even mentioned something about having a negative ultrasound in Easton post on my Facebook, people went nuts.
Well, Urson, when's the last time you did an ultrasound?
How dare you?
I haven't had any modalities in my practice other than heat. I don't even have heat anymore.
People are still coming to your practice, aren't they, Urson?
Over a decade, yeah.
Are you still getting people better?
Yeah, and when people ask, well, it's not that. I mean, seriously, Joe, I was surprised. People who I even know who are manual therapy bloggers are like, hey, if someone asks for it, then it's placebo. They have positive expectation. I'm like, yeah, well, if someone asks for it in my clinic, they're kind of out of luck. And I just tell them, this is even better. And then they buy it.
But if somebody comes to me and asks me to punch them in the face because it makes them feel good, doesn't mean I'm still going to do it.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm
stop being lemmings, people.
Let's be honest.
Let me take that back. Yeah. Maybe. It depends how nicely to ask. So curriculum is one of the things, and we'll come back to that. So the next person I talked to is a perspective that from someone that is going through the curriculum. So I spoke with Scott McAfee, who was one of the DPT students that I talked to in our Future Perspectives episode. So Scott's got a good view on things, and he told me he thought a lot about where he wants to go and what he wants to do after that podcast that we did, which was great to hear. So I asked him the same question, like everybody else. You're living through it. You seem fairly motivated. Should you learn business in school now that you're going through it? And this is what he said.
A variety of reasons. I could go on for days about this. I personally had an epiphany about, I would say, a year ago in one of my classes. And, in DPT school, you get all of these patient scenarios, right? Oh, a patient walks through your door with this. A patient comes through into your clinic with this. And your job is to formulate, the assessment and treatment plan and go from there. But after hearing that about 100, 200 times, I took a step back from that and realized, how does that patient get to you? What brings them back? Why did they choose you and not another clinic, or you and another healthcare alternative like drugs or something like that? And for me, that kind of flipped my entire DBT education upside down.
So Scott, going through school, had an epiphany. I don't know about you guys, but when I have an epiphany, it's a beautiful thing.
It's usually on the toilet, isn't it, Gene?
No comment, yes. So in the bathroom, toilet, shower, TMI either way.
Singing in the shower.
You know what? Do you have a favorite jam that you sing in the shower?
Just in my head.
Do you always feel like you sound better in the shower? Is it just me, or is it because of the acoustics? Like, I mean, did you sound like you're an actual performer that you can sing really well when you take a shower?
Record the next podcast in the shower then.
It's a good idea. Anyway, we digress. So Scott had an epiphany, and he realized, hey, if I'm a good therapist, well, how the heck do I let people know that I'm a good therapist and get him into the clinic? Which, if little does he know, that that's kind of the basis of most clinic owners, right, Joe? I mean, how much time in a day when you're not seeing patients are you thinking about how the hell do I get people in this clinic?
Yeah, absolutely, Gene. I mean, it's a constant battle to make sure that you're making the connections that are gonna get the referrals to your door, and making sure that you're constantly putting the practice out there, so that when people make that decision, they can choose your clinic.
What about yours? And you're obviously a different perspective with the cash-based practice. I mean, that to me, that's, you got to know not only the business and the marketing of it, but you got to be, aside from being a damn good clinician, to bring in that cash money.
Yeah, I mean, for 4 years when I owned a practice that was more traditional, I still thought the same thing. I mean, on great weeks, you just thought, wow, I'm the king of the world. And then all of a sudden you do a bunch of discharge, you do more discharges than evals, and you just think, wow, my family's going to starve. So yeah, you're constantly thinking, it's a roller coaster, and you're constantly thinking, how can I get more people in the door? And you rapidly realize that, through different marketing efforts and everything, I mean, nothing ever happens, or it's rare that you make a connection with any one doc or referral source that just nets you a lot of business. So yeah, I mean, it's something that I never really found a secret to, other than just doing a great job and relying on word of mouth.
So doing a great job, and it goes a long way, word of mouth. And I know a lot of clinic owners go on word of mouth, but business has a lot of other ways to progress the clinic, but also progress the profession. So the next people I talk to are very much in the business of progressing our profession. And so the next interview you're going to hear is actually four people talking after each other, and these people are very good at talking, and they are Jim Hoym, Ann Wendell, Jerry Durham, shout out, and Erica Malo. And I asked them all the same question, and they all had a unique perspective on the answer. So we'll let that entire clip play out, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Should PT schools teach business?
PT schools should definitely teach business.
Why?
Well, physical therapy is a business, and physical therapists need to know how to operate within a business and contribute to the success of a business.
So
And most of them don't know how to do that.
when you say business, what is that to you?
It's understanding accounting, finance, the operations of a business, the market that a physical therapist delivers within or operates within, the healthcare market.
And if the students aren't taught business, do you feel like our profession can't move forward? Do you feel like they are limited in a way?
I think it's really hard to move forward because the physical therapists are one that are doing the work. So they're seeing the patients, they're in the front line. If they're undercoding or devaluing or not delivering as much care as they could to get the best results because of a lack of understanding of how does this business work, it holds the whole profession back, as well as the business they work within.
What about social media? What do you think, Anne?
Business is social. business is about building relationships. And if you're not there, somebody else is saying something about your business and about your brand. So you better be there.
Do you think that schools should teach social media IQ, how to brand?
Absolutely, because you know what? Nobody wants to see their physical therapist shirtless dancing on a table. I mean, unless that's your brand and your UVP, well then by all means, be yourself, Jerry Durham. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I think that's really important. I actually did a guest lecture for my alma mater, University of Maryland, your alma mater as well, and talked to one of their classes about social media and building your brand. And it's really important to know who you are and why you're doing what you're doing. And you want people to know exactly who you are and what your value is. And if you don't get that out there in social media, there's no way for people to know.
So speaking about building value and branding, aside from dancing on tables without shirts, would you say, Jerry, developing that skill in school is something that students can wrap their heads around, or should they just focus on the clinical aspect of it?
Yeah, building a brand is about figuring out who you are, who you want to be, and just running with it. And it's okay not to be completely 100% clinical. You can be about baseball and bourbon and all those great things and still be a great clinician and let people know who you are. And let's face it, it's about building trust in a relationship. And people don't build trust with their doctor. They build trust with the person who is their doctor because they live in the neighborhood, because they have two kids that go to their school. So those are important things to share with everybody.
How do you teach that to students? How do you have them create an idea of concept and value and branding when they don't have the experience or the real world knowledge? You're kind of teaching them concepts, but I want them to be able to integrate them.
Two things. Number one is mentoring. So find people who can talk about it with them and can teach them about it and can take them through it. The second thing is let's not teach them online branding management to restrict doing stupid ass things. And when you approach it that way, then everybody freaks out about what they're going to approach on social media. So let's approach it from being who you are on social media and making sure people understand who you are, not don't do anything stupid on social media. That's just a bad approach. Because personally, nobody's doing anything stupid on social media. Everybody's just being themselves.
So if you're building a curriculum in a PT program and you have a limited amount of space in terms of what you have to do based on CAPT requirements, what would you say would be the top three business components that should be taught for a foundational business school?
Well, I can tell you because I used to work in a business and I have an MBA, but when I started my own practice, I realized that the MBA was great, but it never really taught me how to run a practice. So I would say in terms of PT school, what they should teach in the curriculum is, first of all, finance, how to do the right metrics, what numbers you should follow and what's important to your business. Also, you know, it's not just business, but some legal issues, and not that you're a lawyer, but how to incorporate. Also, what to look for in terms of good accounting, good business structure, operations, and the most important thing is systems. If you don't have any systems in place, you're dead. And just, it's not just systems and like financial systems, but, you know, just systems for following up with patients. It's good business sense. And at the end of the day, you want to be able to make everything automated, because if you get hit by a truck, your business will run and survive.
So those were four very experienced and very established clinicians in kind of different realms of physical therapy, with Jim having therapy partners, with Ann having Prana PT and all her writing gigs, Jerry obviously doing business as JD, him doing lectures and seminars, Erica having her business degree. They're very, very smart people in the world of business, and they all made very valid points, but all agreed that PTs should know business because healthcare is a business, and the more you know, the better you can do your job. And out of all those, I mean, there's not a single point you can disagree, I think, especially Erica saying, yes, she has a business degree. She has, you know, she went to business school, but it's not until you really live the world as a clinician or even if you're taught that as a clinician that you really get it. I don't know. I mean, out of all that, did you guys feel like something jumped out at you that you're like, yeah, that's a really solid point?
Well, I mean, I think Jim was right. PT is a business. I mean, that is the most simple, succinct point, and that's why it should be included in our curriculum. And Ann was right, too. I mean, business is social, so social media is important. And for me, I've talked about this a lot. Social media is like free advertising, but it's also something that, you know, I think a lot of young people get into trouble with when they actually go for jobs later. So I don't know if you can teach that. You know, can you teach common sense? But yeah, I really can't agree, or I can't disagree with anything that any of them said. They're all very good points.
What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I want to touch on the social part. As students come out, they are more in tune with the social media aspect, and they can be and should be the future of that aspect of PT marketing. And I think that any student coming out that doesn't think that is a asset to a company that is looking to potentially hire them is missing a huge attribute that they can use to their advantage, because I feel like owners are out there and they're looking for new avenues. They're looking for that rookie to come in and step up to the plate and really bring that portion to the entire clinic.
Nice baseball analogy.
So
I like it.
Yeah. Trying.
Well, and I think that's relevant to not just physical therapy. I think it's relevant to any business, that if you're hiring some new grad out of any school, out of any major, and they have A, social media experience, or B, social media following, and obviously if they have a following, they have experience, and it's not something you're comfortable with, or it's a channel you're not comfortable with, you know, Snapchat's big, and the younger generation are definitely all about Snapchat and Instagram, and if you're not comfortable with that, you know, that's a big, big potential for revenue driving and content and audience to you and your clinic. And just because you don't do it and don't understand it doesn't mean it's not valuable to you. And I think this is a big issue for a lot of PTs and a lot of clinics. It's, you think that, oh, because it wasn't done before and you did okay, then it's going to be okay. And it doesn't work that way. You're essentially failing already and you don't even know it yet. So don't do that. Get on it. Find social media. You know, again, like Joe said, if you're a student and you're listening to this, keep doing it. You know, it's one of those things that will differentiate you when you're sitting down and interviewing or negotiating. Those are big, valuable chips. All right, now to a slightly different perspective. So far, all the guests have been clinicians, physical therapists, practicing or practiced. But what about somebody that is not a clinician and actually does marketing and business development for a living? And I asked her, and her is Jenny from WebPT, who does their marketing. And I wanted to know somebody else's perspective that is around the field but doesn't actually necessarily live in it. So Jenny offered a unique perspective and a really good answer that I think we all intrinsically know and have been talking about. It's just, it's her job to do it. So here's what Jenny said.
Should PT schools teach business?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because you can't run a practice or a business without business knowledge. It's hard seeing some of our members get out and they treat patients incredibly well and they're incredibly skilled people, but they have a tough time with the business side. And so we, you know, try to educate them as much as we can, but it'd be really, really great if they came out with those skills right away from DPT school.
So marketing, a lot of it is kind of learn as you do it, right? It's a lot of being out in the field or just being a specialist. We're not saying to teach them to be marketing professionals, because that's a whole profession in itself. But if you had to say foundational principles, important things, metrics, things to learn, if you could spend a few hours at the very least teaching, what would you think some of the important things would be?
I think kind of the basics, the foundations, branding, awareness, you know, getting a website out there. I'm really surprised at how many clinics don't have a website, and so many people are looking for information on the web that if your competitor has one and you don't, they're going to get more patients. So, you know, getting at least a little bit of digital knowledge and enough to know how to hire the right people to do the marketing, just so that you don't get, you know, blindsided by somebody who thinks they're a marketer, because there's bad marketers out there too. So enough knowledge to know who to hire and you know, who to help you with your problems.
So Jenny brought up a great point in that even if you're not doing the marketing yourself, it's important to at least have a baseline knowledge of certain topics so that you don't get taken advantage of, like making a website, like hiring a marketing team or ads, just so you understand what's going on. And based on that, you know, it's important on who teaches you this information as well. So the last clip here, and there's a lot. So first of all, thank you to everyone that contributed. But the last clip here is going to be from Dr. Barton Bishop from Sport and Spine Rehab. And he asked an interesting point of, yeah, we should teach business, but who do we get to teach it? Which I thought was a really good, poignant question. So here's our conversation on that topic.
All right, so here with Barton Bishop from Sport and Spine Rehab. So the same question we've been asking, should PT schools teach business?
Well, they absolutely should. The question is, who's going to teach it?
That's a good question. So let's say business-minded clinicians are teaching it, whether it's practice-run clinicians or clinicians with products, it doesn't matter, but that have business experience. Let's say with a limited time frame, what should they focus on?
Well, I think we have to keep in mind that the physical therapist that's in the school, they're going to go to outpatient orthopedics, they're going to go to inpatient hospitals, they're going to go to nursing homes. So we have to be able to make it applicable to everybody. So I would say that the very first thing that needs to be done is to teach them what they actually need to do after they graduate. Because no one really knows about getting credentialed with insurance companies. No one knows about what you do with your licensure. No one knows about MPI numbers. No one knows about the basic of that kind of stuff. That would apply to everybody. I teach at Shenandoah University in Winchester, Virginia, and one of the things they do is they actually have electives. And so they will kind of work people into different style classes based on what they like the most. And so I would strongly recommend getting that type of stuff in. So the people that are planning on going into outpatient care, whether it's neuro, ortho, sports, it doesn't matter, then we start to teach them about what kind of things they can do to set themselves apart in the marketplace, what kind of things they can do to actually have a profitable and productive business.
So the foundational things is, like you said, just getting started. How, if you want to just practice, you still have to start a practice with getting in with insurances. But then the other piece is the branding, the advertising, the marketing, the setting up social media and the value of social media. Is that something that should be integrated as well, at least on a foundational level?
With everybody, yes. The students need to understand how to actually position themselves in the marketplace so that they can get hired. By positioning themselves in the marketplace, they've done 9/10 of the work of positioning themselves after they get hired, right? So whether it's they decide to get into social media and make themselves known in the social media circle, whether they make themselves known in media circles of podcast and so on, whether they make themselves known in just reading and being a disseminator of information, whatever they do in order to brand themselves as a soon-to-be physical therapist is going to be carried over no matter what market they go into, because they're actually going to get hired over someone else that wasn't.
That's a great point, and I actually had a student that we talked to kind of bring that up. So if you're, let's say you're interviewing a student, let's say you're interviewing four students, and you have a student that says, listen, this is what I found. I've been doing research on social media. I've been following these metrics. This is what Apple is using. This is what Google is using. Even if the metrics aren't necessarily relevant to your clinic, is that someone you say, listen, they've taken initiative, they've looked into the business aspect of it, and they're going beyond what you would expect a student to be? Do they have a competitive advantage over the other students?
No question. I can tell you, I had a student that applied for a job with me, was really, really impressive in every respect. He had done a lot of continuing education in school already. He knew kinesiology taping and McKenzie and different manual techniques. He knew a lot. But the key was, during the interview, I was talking to him about the book Good to Great. And he emails me from the airport 4 hours after our interview, says, hey, I saw Good to Great in the bookstore. I bought it. I'm already two chapters down. This thing's awesome. And then he follows back up with me a month later and tells me about the book and what he loved and how he thought it was applicable to him as a future clinician. That's the type of person I want to hire.
So now you know what type of person Dr. Barton Bishop wants to hire, which is an important thing to know for students and those for looking for a job. Well, I think it was a great podcast. Thanks everyone for contributing. There's so many others that were helpful in answering the questions. Steve Tepper, Tal Blair, Jonathan Schiller, Craig Bowen, and there's probably half a dozen other people. So thank you all for contributing. Okay, and finally, we teased this in the beginning, a big announcement. And this announcement and all of this that really happened is due to you. No, not you, Joe and Erson, a little bit to you, but to you, the listeners. I mean, we've had tremendous amount of awesome feedback and listeners and downloads, and we've grown to the point where we know you're listening, and we want to deliver more content to you and grow, and because this is actually kind of fun and we really like doing it, but we want to see where it goes. So, drum roll, anyone? All right, drum roll / earthquake. We are starting a media company. I thought there'd be more fireworks.
What? I think there was a lot of applause, actually. We just couldn't hear it.
Okay.
It's not a live show.
If you're driving, please stop clapping. No clapping while driving. Save your applause for later. Joe Erson and I are starting a media company called UpDoc Media. And Therapy Insiders is going to be a podcast part of that company. But we're also going to be producing and launching a few more podcasts. One of those podcasts is by someone you know very well, and he's been a guest on the show multiple times. And we think highly of him, and we think he's going to bring a lot to the table, and he's got a lot to say. God knows he has a lot to say. And of course, I'm talking about Jerry Durham. So Jerry is going to be our second podcast, and it's going to be called Business, Baseball, and Bourbon with Jerry Durham. And that's going to be launching pretty soon. And we're also having a third podcast that will be launching pretty soon after that, which is going to be focused on running and the stories of running, and we'll announce the host and all those details pretty close to its launch date. So we have a lot of other cool stuff in the works, a really cool blog developing as well. So we're going to set up a hub for all you listeners and new listeners of content that you really need and want to hear. We're just going to deliver it with clinical precision. So that's our big announcement. UpDocMedia.com is going to be launching soon. We'll post all the announcements on Twitter and Facebook page we'll start. So we have a Twitter handle at UpDocMedia, so check that out and start following it. It's a little bare bones now. Unless you're listening to this podcast like 2 years from now, then it'll probably look a little bit differently. But I'm really excited, Urs and Joe. I'm really excited to start this new endeavor, and we'll see where it takes us.
Yeah, I'm psyched. I love having things on my plate. It's like overflowing, and the more I just get a bigger plate.
That's exactly it. Just get a bigger plate.
Just keep piling it on. Looking forward to it, guys.
So, thanks for listening. Thanks for following. Check out UpDoc Media and all the stuff that we have coming your way. And again, for Therapy Insiders, this has been awesome. And yes, we are still going to do Therapy Insiders. It's still going to be an ongoing show, and it's just going to be part of a bigger picture for us. So thanks for all the reviews, all the awesome words, all the conversations. I think the coolest thing is the conversations that these podcasts start on Twitter and through emails and the connections that we've made. So thanks a lot for that. And check us out, Therapy Insiders, on iTunes. Please leave us a review. It really helps us out a lot. And keep coming with the emails and on Twitter. So check us out at Therapy Insiders, at the OMPT, at Joe DPT on Twitter, and let us know what you think. Should PT schools teach business? We'll post it again on Twitter. So your hashtag Project PT is, let us know, should business be taught to students? So thanks a lot, and keep an eye out for UpDoc Media.